Hey, Harpy Hour fans. There's a new way to earn yourselves a coveted Harpy Hour logo sticker and get a shout out from us in an episode.
Just tag us at Harpy Hour Pod on an original social media post. So not a retweet, but something you wrote yourself telling your friends how much you love us.
Next, DM us your mailing address straight from your social media account or email us along with a screenshot of your post to harpyhourpodcast@gmail.com.
You won't get another sticker if you already got one in our last giveaway, but let your friends know anyways so they can participate and get a matching sticker.
We're only giving away up to 20 stickers, but if you miss out, you can also get one by supporting us on Patreon.
Now, before you enjoy the episode, check out this promo from another awesome podcast to add to your list and stick around for Harpy Hour.
Hey, Milton.
Hey, Bailey.
What's your favorite cryptid?
Oh, that's easy. It's the Mothman. He just shows up, warns you of danger, and then just leaves. It's literally me at any party. What about you?
My favorite is Bigfoot. She's real hard to track down, and much like me during quarantine, she's real hairy.
If you love all things strange and obscure, then you will love the Happily Ever Haunted podcast. My wife, Bailey,
and my husband, Milton, cover all things paranormal and beyond in a fun and entertaining way.
You can find our podcast on your favorite podcast app this July.
And remember, those that haunt together, stay together.
Harpy Hour may contain explicit language, as well as graphic, violent, and sexual content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to
Harpy Hour.
There are rules.
Oh my god, I'm in an alternate universe. I don't understand. Should I go to Liz for all my medical questions from now on?
Please do.
Steph, if you want to change roles, we can talk about this offline.
This is alarming. I don't like this. Am I still Tracy?
I don't know. Are you?
Well, there's three of us, so you two switched. So I have to be me. Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, we are the Harpies.
I think I'm Tracy.
I'm Liz. I'm Liz. And Steph is the worst.
Listeners, we did not discuss this beforehand. Steph has gone rogue.
Steph, you already had one third of my last episode. You can't just have my lines now, too.
She has your identity, just in
general.
Slowly
pushing Liz off the show. But please stay on for the business stuff, because I can't do that.
No, we need her to do our taxes. Yeah.
You need me.
Oh, my God.
If I don't have you, whose segments am I going to rip off of?
It's true.
Plagiarize someone else.
It's not plagiarism if you cite your sources.
I'm actually Steph.
And this is our podcast where we share ridiculous stories in history, science, and entertainment.
Steph is the fucking worst. God.
I don't know what's gotten into me.
I don't know either.
It's the wine.
I think it's the low blood sugar from not eating lunch.
It's the wine. A glass and a half of wine, and I just ate lunch. I don't know what's going on.
I hope that pasta settles you back into your own identity soon.
I'm going to have a food coma midway through my segment.
God damn it. Oh, guys.
It's been a week. Yes.
Guys.
What?
Guys.
What? What?
I'm worried about the birds.
The robots, you mean?
The real ones or the fake ones?
The real ones. The ones I can see from my front window.
They might be fake.
The robots. In Denver. It's the end of October, and we got...
As opposed to the rest of the world, where it's June.
Yes.
Well, at the time of this airing...
Yeah, that's true. We are November. Very far ahead. Regardless, it's the end of October. We just got 10 to 15 inches of snow today. And
sure.
Everything in the pond outside, like outside our front door, is frozen, except for this tiny little... bit. It's maybe like 3 feet in diameter. And all of the ducks are congregating in that little bit. So I'm a little concerned that the ducks were like, oh, it's not entirely frozen. It's not time to migrate. And they're going to get stuck.
You think they're going to get frozen into the pond?
Well, not frozen into the pond, but like once that portion of the pond does freeze over, which it will, then like they will have missed their window to migrate down to like Arizona or some shit. And like, I'm just concerned, like, should I go out there and feed the ducks? And if I do feed the ducks, do I have to walk all the way to the little portion that is
out on the ice?
Ice skate out there.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. Maybe not necessarily these ducks, but ducks in general have been around for a very long time. And I feel like their genes know what they're doing.
These just don't look like smart ducks. Like they're out there.
Dumbass ducks.
Like these, like when you talk about having ducks in a row, they are not these ducks. Like these are not those not row ducks.
They're scattered all about with no rhyme or reason. There's no pattern.
These ducks are going to try to fly to the moon for the winter.
I'm just concerned. Like,
what if they just hibernate? What if they're the birds that hibernate in the like mud, the bottom of the riverbed? Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like what?
Do you not remember my segment on bird migration?
Oh, you're right. Well, I don't think these don't look like mud ducks. These look like...
Could they be vegetables?
They look like... Well, no. Although I do have a hard time...
telling ducks apart from vegetables.
identifying vegetables.
Tracy does not remember my migration segment.
I'm really concerned. Like, it's a little early for snow, so...
But you get early snow, like, every year. It's early snow for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just concerned. Like, what if this is a horrible trick and they're destined to, like, stay in Denver and perish?
Well, they'll build new birds.
They'll build new birds, yeah. You can adopt the ducks.
I don't actually know if you can.
Make your own little heated pond outside.
I don't think Craig would appreciate me bringing the ducks into the house.
No, like make a pond outside, but like make it like a heated pool. You know,
you need to do the fly away home thing where you learn to hang glide. And
I dress up like a big duck and then they come and they follow me. Yes, you're right. I need a duck costume and a hang glider.
You could also just like disguise your car as a duck, like a parade.
Can
like
we talk about Tracy hang gliding? Like,
we haven't discussed the mechanics of that yet. We've just accepted that the ducks will follow me.
We need to get into the details of Tracy hang gliding.
We've just accepted that the ducks will follow wherever I am in this duck suit.
Tracy doesn't hang gliding. She can barely drive. Do we trust her with a hang glider?
I mean, am I driving?
I feel like a hang glider is kind of effortless. All you have to do is get over the fear aspect and then you just run and jump?
Question mark?
Question mark?
I mean, do you? I feel like I have to be launched somehow into the air. Like,
you got to get up to the mountain first and jump off of it.
Don't you just like run? You run off of a hill.
Oh, so just go to the mountains outside my window and run off it and assume that the air will catch me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right.
How hard can it be? Does anyone die hang gliding? Come on.
I'll just pinwheel my arms like we talked about in a couple segments.
That will propel you through
and
the
air.
And
that will propel me to Arizona.
Little Tracy plane propelling her arms.
This is perfect. Okay, we have a plan. Don't worry, ducks.
Help is coming.
I will assist you after this episode.
Jesus Christ.
They do look happy, though. Maybe I should just let them be.
Just go throw some breadcrumbs at them. They'll be fine.
You're not supposed to feed them breadcrumbs anymore. I guess there's been some research.
What, are they gluten-free now? Like
on
what?
Duck feeding. There's been research on duck feeding, and you're not supposed to feed them bread. You're supposed to feed them something else. I don't know. Hold on.
Yeah, it kind of just like fills them up with the wrong nutrition.
What do
and
you
then
feed
they don't
ducks?
Get the, then they won't eat the actual nutrition they need.
Sweet corn, frozen peas, oats, seeds, and rice. That's under what do ducks eat?
Okay. Well, go throw them some frozen peas.
grapes cut in half or quartered, if you
prefer. Have to cut the grapes.
This is a very involved feeding regimen.
Jeez, make them a fucking charcuterie board while you're at it. Like,
yet despite the duck's gusto, bread isn't the best choice for them. I feel you. Same.
It's a once in a while snack. It's the McDonald's of duck food.
Bread's a great choice.
I like that they label the duck. They're like the duck's gusto, as if the more gusto you have, the more bread you deserve.
Well, Steph, what do you got for us today?
Today, my segment is called "This Isn't the Greatest Show."
Hugh Jackman could not have done that better. I am so obsessed with this.
I'm a little scared.
I'm going to say that whenever I walk in on things that I disapprove of.
So many Tracy titles.
I appreciate
Tracy
it.
Tracy approved titles anyway.
I appreciate it. I'm going to do that. Like, I'm going to walk into a room and be like, this isn't the greatest show. Like, as if it needs labeling.
I feel like Steph's kind of just lacking on some original content. She's pulling from me. She's pulling from you.
She really
is. A little bit bitter that I upstaged her running segments.
And became her at the beginning of this episode.
Okay. You think you upstaged them. We'll hear from the fans whose running segments they liked better.
Which race was the craziest? Let's put a poll on social media.
Which was the greatest race? Oh, that's going to keep happening. You're welcome.
Look what you did, Steph.
I'm okay with it.
You unleashed the music monster.
Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do.
As she's actively singing.
Look what you made her do.
Continue to sing over you.
Yep.
Okay, now. I'm just going to tell you to sing the teaser.
Already on it. Today, I'm going to tell you guys the story of Edgar R.R. Parker, a.k.a. Painless Parker, who Wikipedia describes as, quote, a flamboyant American street dentist.
Yes.
Street dentist.
That is a horrifying combination of words.
I'm so excited. I have such a visual going right now, and I want you to affirm that this is what's happening.
Who the American Dental Association described as, quote, a menace to the dignity of the profession.
Hashtag goals.
Hashtag not goals.
Nope.
Don't do this.
Oh, okay.
Parker was born 1872 and grew up in New Brunswick, Canada. And in 1892, he graduated from Philadelphia Dental College, which is now Temple University.
Oh, I know Temple. It's like not in a good
heard of it? Ever heard of Temple?
Yeah. A lot of people from Erie.
It's in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. So he hashtag was a dentist. He supposedly, though, was a terrible student and only graduated after he begged the dean to pass him.
Does that work?
Oh, I don't want that kind of dentist or any kind of doctor.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be so easy, but this was like the very early days of dentistry even being like an actual profession.
They barely had science at that point. How can you fail so horribly?
Okay, it's not that long ago. We had science in 1872.
That was still like the era of do cocaine about it.
Yeah, I mean, well, we'll get to it.
Okay, great.
He's a street dentist. There was a lot of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a white man, so like, sure, here's your dental degree.
The bar was low.
You asked nicely enough. You annoyed me enough. Like, here's your degree. Get the fuck out of my face.
I'll give you the degree, but you can only practice on the streets.
The mean streets of Philly.
The mean streets of Canada.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised.
So after he graduated, he set up practice in New Brunswick. But like at this point in time, dental offices, which were called parlors back then, were like, they're pretty unsanitary. Most dentists didn't even have a license at all. So like the fact, like he earned a degree.
So he was ahead of the game by having like a barely earned degree.
Right.
I mean, he didn't earn it. He didn't earn it.
He begged for it.
He asked very nicely.
But like, at least he had like some training. question mark?
I mean, he went through the motions.
So he's slightly ahead of the curve, maybe. Also, at this point in time, advertising for clients in dentistry and medical professions was considered unethical. So you weren't supposed to like put your name out there and advertise and try to get people. You just had to like...
What's unethical about that?
I don't know.
Is it like beneath someone to beg for clients?
I don't know. Maybe they didn't want it to be too much like a business. I have no idea. They just didn't want you to advertise for clients. So it's like really hard to get yourself started back then. You couldn't promote yourself. You had to get patients via word of mouth.
Facebook friends. Got it. Okay.
Dentistry, word of mouth. No. Okay.
Nice try.
I hate it. Thank you. I hate it.
Also, people like weren't getting dental checkups the way we do now. Like nowadays, you're supposed to go every 6 months. I'm sure most people don't do that, but or at least a lot of people don't do that. But even back then, like it just wasn't a thing to get like a dental checkup. So there was a lot working against him starting his new practice as a new dentist.
I imagine, was it for like, you know, wealthy people who could afford it type situation?
Like wealthy people are the only ones who can have unpaid internships, kind of like that.
Probably something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard to start as the new guy in dentistry. So In his first 6 weeks of practice, he didn't see a single patient.
Not a good rate.
So he just like chilling in his office, like Dr. Love Robinson, just sitting there in his empty office in his white coat, like, I'm ready.
Do you think there's like cock blocking by other established dentists that like don't want to lose their clients?
I mean, maybe. It's probably just like, do you go to the new guy in town? Or you go to the guy who's been here for a while, who people have been to and can recommend or something. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
I once recommended a dentist to Steph.
Yeah, and it was the worst dental experience I've ever had in my life.
I remember this.
Thousands of dollars later.
I went to this dentist once and all I needed, I had a cleaning and was in, I got cleaned, I was out. And it was like a block away from my apartment and Steph needed a dentist. And I was like, oh, I went to this guy down my street. But she had to go and get, what were you getting? Like a root canal?
So like I went there just for a regular cleaning and then they found on x-rays, because I hadn't had x-rays in a while, that I had an old filling that had started to come out. So like, well, the filling was done so deeply that the only way we can fix this is to do a root canal. And so they told me the root canal would take like an hour and they told me they would give me Valium ahead of time because I'm so anxious at the dentist. I had to call like 3 times to get the Valium because they kept like forgetting to prescribe it. And then I finally got it. And then like the root canal took like 2 hours and they were supposed to give me the laughing gas. They didn't give me the laughing gas because they're like, oh, it's in the other room, let's just try without it. I'm like, you told me you would give it to me because I'm super anxious. And then like after they finished the root canal, they were like, okay, well, we're kind of running behind now, so you go sit in the waiting room until we're done with the next patient and we'll bring you back and finish. So I sat in the waiting room for an hour chewing on gauze.
And then they
finally like they finished, and then I had to come back like 2 separate times to get the crown done because it wasn't fitting right. And I spent like thousands of dollars. And then I go to the dentist this year for a regular checkup. And they're like, this crown they put on doesn't even cover the cavity. Like there's a huge hole in your tooth still. So I had to do it all over again this year. It was, oh my God. I had to get surgery, like oral surgery.
Thanks, Liz.
To what was called a crown lengthening, where they like rub down part of the bone of my jaw in order to make the tooth long enough to put a new crown on top of it.
Okay.
So thousands of dollars later, multiple dental visits. Thanks, Elizabeth.
My recommendation was based solely on the one cleaning I had.
One fucking tooth has cost me so much goddamn money.
I have a new dentist now. He's really nice. I would recommend
Shut the
him.
Fuck up. Oh my God.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm obsessed with this.
I've gone to the dentist so many times in the past year that I'm like, my anxiety with dental procedures has actually significantly improved. Just like, yeah, just fucking do what you gotta do.
take my money,
take my tooth, whatever the fuck.
Drill
you
into my jaw.
So really, you're welcome, Steph.
Yeah, it's a long con for Liz to clear it
to clear Steph of her dental anxiety.
Yes.
Because she
You're
cares.
Welcome.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, back to Painless Parker. He moved his quote unquote practice to a nearby town. I put practice in quotes because what he actually did was stand on the street corner offering to pull teeth for 50 cents a pop.
Tell me he had one of those like body billboards.
A sandwich board.
And just like handed out flyers. Yes.
Did he have one of those spinners? Somebody that spun the sign
probably
for him?
And like one of those.
Or one of those.
Those tube air things at the car dealership.
Yes, the floppy
the wacky
people.
Wavy inflatable
yes,
tube.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm so excited.
So he stood on the corner and he said to people like, I will pull your tooth for 50 cents. And if you feel any pain, I will pay you $5. And that was like his
That's
business model
deal.
To get people. Yeah, right.
What is that in today's money? Do you know?
I didn't math it out.
Hold Steph. On. I mean, sorry, Tracy.
We are not the same person.
We're in the 1890s, 1892.
$5. Inflation calculator. I should just keep this open. Mm-hmm. Nobody does their research, apparently.
Jesus.
So $5 in 1892 is worth $143.01.
Okay, so that would mean it's like, what, $14? You pay him $14, and if you feel pain, he gives you $140, essentially. Anyway. Okay. So his method of pain control was a medication he called hydrocaine. Hydro, meaning water. Cane from
cocaine.
Do cocaine about it. Do cocaine yes. about it.
We really need to start prescribing cocaine for a variety of ailments.
So he injected you with watered down cocaine before pulling
awesome.
Your tooth. And if that wasn't quite enough, sometimes it wasn't, he would supplement with whiskey.
Sure.
After doing this for a little while, he decided to take his show on the road and became a traveling dentist.
Yes.
Which is giving me flashbacks to the lobotomobile.
Oh my God. Take something terrible and make it travel.
Mm-hmm. So he went from town to town giving people cocaine and pulling their teeth for 50 cents a pop. After he did this for a little while, he then decided to move his family to New York. I didn't look in the details of his family. He had a family. He opened a traditional dental practice again, but he found that this was not easy to do, unsuccessful, struggling, and trying to figure out what to do next. And that's when he met a man named William Beebe.
Justin Bieber?
William Bieber.
The Biebs.
William Beebe was a former manager at P.T. Barnum. P.T. Barnum, as in Barnum and Bailey's Circus.
As in The Greatest Showman. I follow. I got you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
You getting it? You getting it? Mm-hmm. So what do you get when you cross a dental practice and a circus?
A disaster?
A very scary dental appointment.
It sounds like a setup for a corny joke, but this is like a fucking real question because this is what happened. You get the weirdest, creepiest, most bizarre fucking show you ever heard of. The Parker Dental Circus.
No, thank you.
Hard pass.
So they decided to take his dental practice act, whatever you want to call it, to the streets, and in order to attract customers / patients. So he wore a white coat and a top hat. And during his shows, he would like plant a fake patient in his audience. Then he'd be like, I need a volunteer. Like, who wants me to pull their tooth for free and like show that this is a painless thing? And so he'd like have the plant person in the audience. He'd call them up. And he would pretend to pull a molar out of their mouths, but really it was a tooth that was like already removed. So he would just like pretend to pull it out. And then the plant would be like, oh my God, I felt nothing. And everyone would be like, oh my God, me next, like pull my teeth.
But then what happened to the next person?
Oh,
which
I
is
don't
like this. I guess dentistry and dental hygiene back then was so bad that it was just like, is that all the dentist did? Is it just like fucking pulled teeth?
You didn't like treat problems or do any preventative.
Yeah, there's no like filling cavities.
Yeah.
You just removed it.
You just removed teeth. Like that was your job. So as he became like more well known, so he put his dental chair on a horse-drawn carriage and like toted it around that way.
Nope.
And then he had like a band playing, and then like around the chair there would be these contortionists and dancers performing, and like this whole spectacle while he's pulling teeth.
I have a logistics question. So horses, they sometimes stop at inopportune moments to shit. Like, what if that happened while you were in the chair or while the chair was being pulled? I assume it did happen. Like,
huh. What? See, what? I assumed that, like, the chair was brought around by the horses, but it would be stationary, like stopped while you were getting the tooth pulled. But maybe it was in motion while the tooth is being pulled. That is a valid point.
I don't think you are detached from the... I don't know.
There's a lot of hygiene concern here, too.
I mean, that's really the least of your worries when you're on cocaine and there are contortionists around you. So,
I mean, I would be very concerned about the horse's ass that's 5 feet from me while I'm getting my tooth pulled, but...
Yeah, that's a concern, I think.
It's a lot of concerns here. So really, the purpose of the music was to mask when the people in the chair would start screaming and moaning in pain.
Oh, no!
What about the thrashing of their body?
Well, that would probably be, you know, people were distracted by the dancers and the contortionists. You know, you don't notice the person like thrashing.
It's all a
around.
Big distraction.
Yeah, it's all a distraction. Parker would actually like tap his foot on the ground if he needed to signal the band to play louder. It's like legitimately that was the purpose of the band, was to hide
people's
screams.
I don't like this at all.
So he'd be like tapping along to the music, but really he's being like, play louder. Like, this guy's a screamer.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it.
I imagine they would all be screamers.
Oh, God.
Because at this point, he had gotten a little bit lazy slash actually a lot lazy about his anesthetic technique. So like instead of injecting the hydrocaine, he would just kind of squirt it onto the cavity of the tooth, which did little, if anything, to actually numb the person up.
Oh, my God.
Because like when a dentist injects you with anesthesia, what they're doing is they're like numbing the nerve that innervates that part of your mouth. But if you just kind of squirt it on there, it doesn't actually get to the nerves. Maybe you
that
like
is not enough anesthesia. Yeah. That
you
is
might just
enough.
Like numb the gums a little
it's just
bit.
Just a surface tingle.
Never enough. Never, 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 never enough. Anesthesia. Never enough.
What did I start?
You did this.
You have that to look forward to.
So he squirted cocaine in their mouth and then pulled their fucking tooth like right in front of everybody. And nobody noticed that they were in pain because they were too distracted by the music and the show. In my mind, I was like, how did people not spread word that, like, this guy's a fucking fraud? Like, it actually hurt a ton.
Right.
But I'm like, oh, well, he's a traveling dentist. He goes to this place. He does this show.
By the time word spreads,
he pieces the fuck out. Word spreads, but he's on to the next town. It's not like they have, you know, Facebook or something.
He's like the Music Man. He's like Harold Hill in The Music Man. Not that either of you know that, but that's what
I
he's
saw
like.
A middle school performance of The Music Man once upon a time.
So as I'm sure you recall from the pivotal plot points.
I remember every detail of it.
Yeah, it's like about snake oil salesmen, essentially.
So Parker kept a barrel full of teeth that he had pulled.
He
kept it like on display during his circuses for people to see. So this is the teaser, the social media teaser photo that I put up. So if you look at it, it is disgusting. It's like this big bucket filled like almost to the top with these like rotten, discolored teeth.
Nope. No, thank you.
And he like kept it by him whenever he would like give lectures or talks or like... to his show or whatever. Whenever he was like talking to people about the importance of dental hygiene, he just had this like fucking bucket next to him.
A million dreams are keeping me awake.
A million teeth are keeping in this bucket.
I'm alive. I'm alive. Despite this guy's efforts, I am still alive.
So Beeb, the circus man, eventually passed away.
Oh, that was abrupt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets morbid for like a hot second. Beeb dies. The Beebster is gone. Oh, Parker moves to California, sets up shop in Los Angeles. Okay. California didn't really take kindly to his unusual practices, and he ended up facing a lot of like legal battles, lawsuits there. As his practice began developing, though, he was making his own toothpastes and powders and mouthwashes and stuff and selling these things.
Do they all have cocaine in them?
Probably.
Tell me they all had cocaine in them.
That probably. Everything had cocaine in it back then. So he had like an actual office, but he would still take to the streets with music and performers from time to time. And he even would have like tightrope walkers and like quote unquote human flies climb his building to attract attention. So like, he just couldn't give up like the showbiz life. He still needed to combine his love of circus with his dentistry practice.
You know what? I bet he also had radium in his toothpaste.
Is that the right time period?
Yeah. I mean, depending on how long, like you mentioned 1892 earlier.
Yeah.
Right.
Depending could very on how well long have radium.
He was doing this, then like eventually teeth glow. Radium is the later 1890s.
Yeah, there you go. Probably. In 1913, he bought a circus, a traveling circus, and the spectators, you know, the non-patients there would watch the jugglers, the magicians, the acrobats. Parker himself would ride in on an elephant. And he claimed to have pulled, at one time, he claimed to have pulled 357 teeth in a single day at this circus.
That's just quantity over quality.
And he wore them on a fucking necklace. Ugh.
When you mentioned the teeth earlier, I thought you were going to say necklace instead of jar.
Yeah. He had both.
And then I was hopeful that the necklace would never happen. No, if he was has doing both. The jar thing.
And it's not just like a few, it's 357 rotten teeth on a necklace. So he's like there with his top hat and his white coat and his fucking tooth necklace and his fucking tooth bucket.
I hate it.
Riding an elephant.
Nope. Nope. Strong pass.
As his business and his reputation continued to grow, he started doing like more and more bizarre things to kind of continuously upstage himself and like keep himself relevant. So he like performed at a theme park in Long Beach, and he took pictures with celebrities, and he treated a hippo named Lucas.
Aww,
poor hippo. Little hippo toothache.
Toothache. Poor hippo.
Oh, he could have treated that elephant who had the toothache.
Yeah, that murdered its trainer, and then they murdered the elephant.
Yeah, she just needed to go see Parker. He'd been doing demonstrations on sidewalks, but eventually had to like shut that part of it down because there were new concerns about bacteria and sterilization. Duh. So instead he would start playing educational films about oral health and then invite people like on the streets. He would like show these films and then he would invite people back to his office to be like, I'll do a free checkup on you now that you've learned all about dental hygiene.
Strong path.
In 1915, he legally changed his name to Painless, like his first name to Painless. Oh,
that shouldn't be allowed.
Because he was accused of false advertising because his procedures were, in fact, not painless.
So to get around that, he altered his name?
It's not false advertising if my name is painless.
Also in California, the law dictated that you had to practice, like dentists had to practice under their legal name. So now it was like, okay, so it's not false advertising because it's my name and it's my legal name, so you can't say shit about it. So fuck you, I am Painless Parker, despite the fact that I am actually Painful Parker.
Oh,
did I say the procedure was painless? I said, I'm painless.
It's my name. Awkward. I can see the confusion there.
Too sorry late.
My hands are already in your mouth. Sorry.
Already holding your tooth. It's in my bucket. Ain't
it.
So let's talk a little more about his reputation.
He had one.
Mm-hmm. He was largely regarded as a quack and a charlatan by the dentistry profession at large because of his unusual business practices and advertising practices. And he often found himself in court arguing over advertising, ethics, and overcharging monopolies, things like that.
Those pesky things.
Though I did read that like he was known for keeping his prices affordable for poorer clients. So that was like the one decent
yeah,
thing
because
he did.
He's not authorized to do things.
He is a dentist.
I mean, sort of.
He was sued many times. His dental license was revoked in multiple states after he left like this wake of angry patients who
yeah
were actually in a lot of pain.
You'd think at some point, I know that like when he was in the traveling circus thing and he wouldn't stay around long enough for there like to be consequences. Like, at some point, the news should, like, travel ahead, like, in newspapers or something like that. Like,
I mean, I guess. I don't know how fast news traveled back then, town to town.
I mean, the odds are not in your favor for that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing a show in this one town one day, and then the next day you move right to the next town, probably not enough time for word to spread, mm-hmm. You know? You just leave this, like, trail of agony behind you until the word catches up and you just move to the next state because your license got revoked.
I feel like I'd be angry enough to follow him and just tell everyone, like, don't shout it. I am still crying in pain.
Yeah. You aren't able to shout. Your jaw has rotted off.
Oh.
No, that's the radium.
But despite all of this, his business grew and he ultimately ran 28 dental offices on the West Coast, employed 70 other dentists, and made over $3 million a year.
I just think about how tough it is for people to negotiate a raise in corporate America. And I think I just finished my self-assessment at work today. And I feel like I should just go into my review and be like, you know what? I did not pull out anyone's teeth with contortionists and horses in near vicinity. So, yes, I do deserve $3 million. Thank you.
5 stars.
His biggest office was in LA on the corner of 7th and Main Street, and it still exists today as a dental office. It is now run by a Dr. Zhang M. Li.
I was going to say, tell me it's a legacy. No. Like,
no, Zhang M. Li.
Somebody who's trying to redeem the family name.
Dr. Li reportedly sees patients who are descendants of Painless Parker's patients. So, like, his patients.
Ghosts of patients past.
The ghosts still haunt.
They're still in agony. They need more hydrocaine.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so, like, I guess Painless Parker's patients were so loyal to him for some fucking reason that their descendants now go to the same office. For some fucking reason. Despite his shyster ways, he is considered by some to be the father of good dental practices.
Who are these some?
Well, it's not because his own practices were admirable, but rather because his act and his, like, con artist ways led to the development of professional ethics in dentistry.
So he didn't do anything, but his negligence did.
Exactly. He was so awful that it caused the dentistry profession to reform and become more ethical.
That's like me throwing cyanide into the pond and then the legislature enacting anti-cyanide legislation. And then you are given credit for that.
For a second, I thought you were talking about the ducks. And I was like, why are you throwing cyanide into the pond with your ducks?
That's what I thought, too.
That is what I have said.
Don't kill the ducks.
I would never do that to the ducks, which is why it's so far-fetched. So you know I'm not actually doing it. I would never harm the ducks.
Cyanide was not listed as one of the things in the duck diet.
No, it wasn't. Grapes, yes. Grapes cut into quarters, but not cyanide.
Not cyanide. They have a line. It's cyanide.
Yep.
I think we all have that line.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Can we agree?
If you're interested, the bucket of teeth and the tooth necklace can now
be found. Is at a museum at Ripley's?
No, it's at the Historical Dental Museum at Temple University School of Dentistry.
Jesus Christ.
Come on, Temple.
Pennsylvania, up your standards. God.
Yeah, come on, Temple. This is not someone you should be proud of.
Damn.
Maybe we just go ahead and burn that.
No, that's very Philadelphian.
Sometimes you have to acknowledge your mistakes and show that you've grown from them.
Here's an example of what not to do.
We're sorry. So yeah, that is the story of Painless Parker.
He has caused me a lot of pain just through the telling of the story.
I know. I was so uncomfortable reading a lot of this. I couldn't have done this story if I still had my dental anxiety.
But you're Liz welcome. Cured me of that.
look at what she brought to us. Look at what Liz brought to us by wreaking havoc. That's the better example. Liz ruined Steph's life, and as a result, we got this story.
Liz cost me thousands of dollars and hours of misery in a dental chair.
Okay,
but now you get to hear about Painless Parker. So
more than
welcome.
One reference when you're looking for any type of professional services.
I'm obsessed. We all learned a valuable lesson here today.
Have better teeth, Steph.
It's just the one tooth. I brush, I floss.
It's just the one tooth. It's just the one eye.
This is the hardest tooth. How do I rewrite the mouth?
Oh, God.
Hey.
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 You know what you can do when you're sitting in the dentist chair? You can listen to Harpy Hour on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Wherever you listen, please rate us and leave us a review. You do not have to shout as we leave your vicinity. You can just leave it right on the platform.
When I was in the dental chair back in Arlington, I did actually put headphones on because I'm like, I can't listen to this drilling.
See, you could have listened to Harpy Hour had we existed.
I would be worried about like laughing and then like moving my jaw and making the situation worse.
I think I had music on. I don't think I had a podcast on. I don't really remember. I just wanted to be distracted.
She blacked it out.
I blacked it out.
Well, if you have dentists in your local area you'd like to recommend, you can email us at harpyhourpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at harpyhourpod.
I really hope we start getting DMs like, this is the best dentist in Boise, Idaho. With like photos of them smiling.
Oh my God. We are also on Patreon. So if you have extra money lying around that you don't know what to do with, extra money because you only paid 50 cents to get your tooth pulled out, you can...
or, you know, $14 in today's money. It's a lot of money.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a lot cheaper than what I paid for my dental services, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Liz.
I don't have extra money lying around because of
but
that.
But you might.
But you might. And you should give it to us. So that we can give you more extra content and keep this shit show chugging along.
Steph needs to start earning money from this podcast so she can shut up about her dental expenses.
Thanks for listening.
Okay, okay, bye.